This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. I'm super duper excited for the show. I know I always say that, but I am. I'm always excited to have the show, but I'm even more excited to have one of the best authors out there and a good friend. He's got a new novel out. Of course, we're talking about the New York Times and USA Today bestselling author of A Dog's Purpose and many, many others, my friend Bruce Cameron. Bruce is going to chat with us about his latest novel, My Three Dogs, Love Will Find a Way Home. So we're super excited to talk a little bit about the novel and talk about how it fits in with all the other wonderful things he's got going on. And then, of course, we'll always pick his brain for get little tidbits from the master himself. So it's going to be a great, great show. Everybody hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Gifts for my pets. Sparkle and love. Under the tree. From heaven above. Gifts for my pets. Joy in the air. Unwrapping dreams. Without a care.
Elevate your cat's eating experience. With the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and is conveniently located on the cat tree. Go to cattreetray.com. Bring home a luxury French bulldog from the world-famous Tom King's Kennel. Premium French bulldogs from excellent European bloodlines. Superior puppy care and lifetime health guarantee for your perfect companion. Use code TOMKINGSMAGIC for a magical holiday discount. Visit TomKingsKennel.com and find your perfect Frenchie today. Your pets will be over the moon with sparkly jewelry from Over the Moon Jewelry. Beautiful handcrafted matching jewelry for you and your pet. Wire-wrapped, beaded contemporary necklaces, bracelets, and charms. Go to OverTheMoonJewelry.com.
Gifts for my pets. Joy in the air. Unwrapping dreams without a care.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Joining me now is number one New York Times bestselling author of A Dog's Purpose and so many other books. Of course, we're talking about our good friend W. Bruce Cameron. Bruce, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Tim. Always a pleasure to be on this show.
Absolutely. We're always thrilled to see you and talk to you, my friend. It's always a lot of activity going on, but now we have a new done and dusted novel, My Three Dogs. So tell us a little bit about this particular book.
No, I think your listeners are really going to get into My Three Dogs because in very many ways, it is reminiscent of the same heart and same point of view that made A Dog's Purpose such a big hit. In this case, it's not a dog. It's three dogs. We have three dogs that are separated from one another due to a misfortune. Humans are trying to do their best for the dogs. They don't realize that once a dog pack is formed, it really, really resists being pulled apart. So in this instance, the precipitating event is a car accident. Of course, that's well over dogs' understanding. All they know is that their person doesn't come home one day. And there are three dogs. There's Riggs is an Australian Shepherd. They're herding dogs. They want order. They want the pack together. They want everything to go precisely as planned. And Luna is the Jack Russell Terrier, full of energy and so full of energy that many people don't realize they're also extremely smart dogs. And Luna is part of the pack as a Jack Russell Terrier. The newest addition to the pack is a Labradoodle named Archie. And Archie is funny and goofy and, you know, can't take anything seriously, much to Riggs's irritation. When their person doesn't wind up coming home, it's going to first off be up to Luna to figure out how they can get food and water, because this goes on for a couple of days. They're abandoned because nobody's thinking about the dogs. They're thinking of the fate of the man who was in the car accident. So by the time circumstances intervene and the dogs are sent to a shelter and adopted out, Riggs has had enough of it. He's going to reunite his pack, even if it means living as a feral dog on the streets of Denver where their book takes place. So we watch Riggs as he works on trying to find the other members of his pack and then get them together and then go find their person.
Many, many things come to mind when I picked up the book and read through it. Obviously, we got a whole new cast of characters, and it's a mixture of characters. So when you mention the word a pack, you know, oftentimes people will think of, you know, the same breeds or maybe a wild pack. But a pack is a family, and these three are family.
They really are. It's a dog family. Absolutely. That's what a dog pack is. And I don't think we, you know, we will get dogs together and then we'll say, all right, this one dog's going and the other two dogs are staying home or something. And we won't think about how that feels to the three dogs, not just the two dogs that are left behind, but also the dog that gets to go. I mean, it might be that we think that dog is going to feel honored, but that dog might feel really anxious, separated from the pack. What's going on? Why am I not with my pack? Those are the kind of questions a dog would consider. And so when these three dogs are separated, they each have their own unique way of reacting to their circumstances, depending not just on what families they wind up with. I mean, poor Archie is just a loving dog and really will go anywhere and winds up with a family that's probably not appropriate for a dog. And yet just accepts it. What I love about Archie is how accepting Archie is. Okay, I'm on a chain in the backyard. I guess that's what they want. So that's what I'll get. That's how a Labradoodle would react to that situation. Riggs is trying to figure everything out. Luna has decided, well, I just won't be friendly to anybody. And that way they'll have to take me back to my original person. She's figured out that the dogs that are in the shelter are getting adopted. And she doesn't really understand that part, but she does know they are leaving with the dogs. And she's like, if I leave with somebody, some family, my person won't be able to find me. Where if I stay right here, perhaps my person will show up. So they're all making different calculations. Riggs, of course, has the most challenging life because he's living literally on the streets as a feral dog, a dumpster diving dog. But they're all really trying for the same thing, which is to get everything back to the way it was.
Nice, nice. We won't give away the ending for sure. But I will say, Bruce, all your books, they, as a sensitive guy that I am, I have to brace myself because it's always starting with some sort of a, you know, tragic moment, and, you know, and you do such strong visualizations in your writing that I could see them, you know, being tethered, being separated, being on the streets, all these things. I see that and feel that. And, you know, part of that, I like to say, is my sensitivity to it all. But you do a great job, as always, of writing that so we can see those dogs and see what's going on and feel what they must be going through and the pain and the anguish and the frustration and all the things that come along with it.
Yeah, thank you. I have published with this one. It'll be this coming novel is my 37th book, and about 28 of them are about dogs and a dog point of view. I've kind of developed a certain skill around this, and I'm really happy with that.
Yeah, and this one, it's been a beat or two since we had a novel out, because I know you've been busy with your youth series, your children's series, all the things you've got going on there. So it's been a little while since we have had a novel, and then you're all of a sudden out of the blue introducing, we got dogs in here, but it's a different twist, different types of dogs, different type of scenario.
Yeah, I think especially when we explore the world of feral dogs living on the street, I go into the lives of several different dogs because it's my observation that, you know, a dog living without people, that is an unnatural set of circumstances for a dog. And if that is what's going on for a dog, I really truly believe that they will be not traumatized, but almost traumatized by their circumstances. And what they would want more than anything is to be with people and be with dogs. And so I was able to get into the minds of those dogs and their, you know, what led them to be so naturally suspicious of humans that they wind up living without them. Dogs aren't really supposed to be living without us. And to be a dog that has to subsist on garbage that's thrown away, food scraps, that must be a terrible life, honestly. And I wanted to show that though the dogs are living what we would consider to be almost cruel existences, they are all accepting. They're doing what dogs do. They're thinking, this is my lot in life. I may not understand how I got here, but I do understand that I am here and I have to make the best of it.
That's right. And it brings light to all that. And I think that's apropos, you know, I will speak for as a collective of humans here, but I think we realize there's feral cats there that get born into colonies and they stay feral. I mean, Lord knows I've had 13 that I've trapped, neutered, and released and decided they had life way too good here. So they stuck around. Yeah. So I understand that, but we don't always think about the feral dog. And it is, you know, more prevalent than it needs to be, not only here in the United States, but elsewhere. And I love the fact that, you know, you're building us into a great storyline. We attach ourselves to the character, but also there, it has that underlying message too, to get people to think, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, there are feral dogs. And yeah, that's a tough life. So we need to do what we can to help them out.
Yes. And the street is a dangerous place these days because there are displaced humans. And they are not all stable individuals, and the dogs have to navigate that very dangerous circumstance all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've seen that quite often, you know, and whether it's, you know, in a metropolitan city, in my own sort of neck of the woods. And obviously, when I've traveled overseas, people, individuals there, humans that are living on the streets, will often have a dog with them. And you think to yourself, well, that's good. It's good companionship. It's good, you know, relationship. But like you said, it's not always a stable environment. And even for those dogs, what happens if for some reason their human falls into harm's way?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very dangerous situation. You're exactly right.
Absolutely.
So in my three dogs, Riggs has to learn to get along. Not raised to this, so he needs to get along on the streets, needs to learn from other dogs, and of course dogs do that so well. You know, I'm studying sheep herding dogs and guardian dogs right now. Guardian dogs don't seem to really need much training. They pay attention to what the other guardian's dog do, and then they do that, and I'm fascinated by that. The dogs can learn from each other when it's what they understand, what they intuit is their responsibility. I just think that's wonderful.
You know, connecting with the stories in the book, when the dog's being brought into a new house, for instance, and you mentioned we talked about the pack mentality, and they form that pack, you know, quickly as a family unit. And I can even remember with my own situation with our little toy schnauzer, when we adopted her and we brought her into the house for the first time. Well, she'd been adopted out with, she had a family, a pack of four other puppies. So there's five in total. And first thing she looked for was those other puppies, because she's like, where are they at? You need to be here. So I had to do some quick explaining and a lot of love, a lot of treats. And now she's spoiled rotten. And I'm sure she thinks about them from time to time, but then she gets in her nice cushioned bed and she's ready to go.
I think you're exactly right. And and I'm sure your schnauzer is really, really happy now. And ultimately, in my three dogs, you know, they're all coping very well with their circumstances. What they really want is a return to what was the best life for them, which was with their person and living together as a pack. And I just loved coming up with the concept of these three dogs that are separated and come back together. I just think people are going to really enjoy the travails of these dogs as they find their way in a world that they don't understand.
Yeah. And I love in the book, you know, we get to know each character and we see sort of the beginning of how it all started, and then their individual little journeys, and then a manifestation of what happens in their life. And we won't give away the ending there, but I love how that ties together, because it, you know, it'd be very easy for me at least, to talk about, okay, we've got one main character driving the story, and you know, he's searching for a couple of his buddies, and you know, that's the focus. And though we do know that, you know, Riggs is forming the following his instincts and trying to get the pack back together, you still have these individual storylines within my three dogs.
Yeah, absolutely. They all have their own path toward reunification. They all have to put up with what the decisions are that are made for them by humans. none of them, I would say, wind up in an ideal situation. This is not a book where you're going to say, well, gee, it really was better for Riggs to be with that family. You're not going to think that. I think that, you know, it is usually an adoption. It's a very good fit. The dogs just want to be loved. And to have a family after having been alone, they're so eager to be back to that. Even if they didn't grow up with it, they intuitively want it. So I don't think your listeners are going to say, well, I really wish, you know, Archie could have stayed with that family. You're going to say to yourself, you understand how it was just never a good fit until they found that they could unite the pack.
There you go. Love it. Love it. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. I want to come back with our good buddy Bruce Cameron, talk a little bit more about the book, My Three Dogs. Love Will Find a Way Home. Also want to pick his brain a little bit about writing in general. So everybody, hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert, and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Or wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to communicate with animals is a four-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises as a method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit petliferadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. In our conversation with our good buddy, the New York Times number one best-selling author, Bruce Cameron, in his latest book, My Three Dogs, Love Will Find a Way Home. Now, Bruce, we're putting together this novel. First of all, what is the takeaway in general with this book and your other writings? Is there one main theme you're hoping that the readers will get when they're said and done? Or is there a different message, do you feel, in this particular book, My Three Dogs?
Well, I think both are true. I think in general, what I always want people to take away from my books is the fact that dogs are really dependent upon us and our actions and our decisions, that we control their destinies completely. And because we control their destinies completely, we have a responsibility toward them. That we, you know, if you did see a feral dog in the street, to just walk away is to walk away from an ongoing tragedy, because dogs don't belong living on the street. That is not a condition that makes sense to them, and it can really cause them trauma. So that's the first part. I just want people to always, no matter what book, you could be reading A Dog's Purpose, A Dog's Journey, A Dog's Way Home, you can read whatever book of mine you want. If you come away with it feeling more of an appreciation for how much dogs depend upon us to steer them through the world, I think that's I think that's my overarching goal. The other thing has to do with miscommunication, misunderstanding. There really is, throughout this book, a bunch of major misunderstandings that if the communication were better, if people just did a better job of talking to each other, if we didn't have barriers, resentments, things would go a lot more smoothly for both us and our dogs. And that's the other message from My Three Dogs, is that, you know, that all these circumstances that happen basically happen because of miscommunication, tragic, minor miscommunications that lead to full-blown misunderstandings. And from there, not to tragic events, but certainly to tense and dramatic events that, you know, if it happened in real life, you might say, I wish we could have avoided that.
Nice. So communications is the key. I like it. And that's very true. It's very true. And the message comes through loud and clear in My Three Dogs. And I think that's a wonderful message. You know, we need to communicate better in all facets, especially in today's world. You know, it's a lot more confrontation than communication nowadays. And I think we need to step back and get back to that talking to each other, talking to our dogs, and forming those great relationships and forming the best pack you possibly can.
Yes, absolutely. Let's do that as people with each other and, of course, with our dogs. Form the best pack we can.
There you go. Love it. I love it. So now when putting together the book, My Three Dogs, and we talk about, you know, A Dog's Purpose and all the other wonderful novels you've written, I know they're all standalone. One doesn't have to lean up on the other for someone to get a message. So they if the fans, I'm sure they've read all your stuff, but if they pick up a new one, they know exactly what's going on. For yourself, as the author of these books, is there an alignment between them? I know there's the themes and some of the things we talked about getting the message out about helping and communicating and being, you know, taking care of our dogs. But is there some sort of a how you stack each one up to each other, or do you go into it looking for something standalone and it's a new concept, or is it an idea that's been percolating? Or in this case, with My Three Dogs, were you watching a vintage Nickelodeon or TV Land and got My Three Sons and got the bright idea?
No, I write so many children's books, and in those books, the dogs always start with the origin, with the big puppies. Sometimes I go all the way back to when they were little blind puppies feeding at their mother's side, and then they gradually open their eyes and their vision clears. Sometimes I do that with my children's books. But My Three Dogs takes place without any of that backstory being filled in. We really don't know two out of the three dogs. We know Archie's story because when we pick up the book, we pick up the book with Archie, who is in circumstances that are not that great, kind of an ignored dog, and that's pretty sad. But then there appears to be the potential for that to change. And that is like how the book begins. What I set out to do, I think, always, is to establish for myself, well, what are the characters of these dogs? How are these dogs going to react to their world? What's different about them? What differentiates them? And then how is there this common thing that all dogs have, this optimism, this desire to be with people? I kind of mix that all together when I plunge into writing a book. In this case, I had the essential idea that I had written so many books from the point of view of a dog, but I'd never written a book from the point of view of a pack of dogs. And I became fascinated by pack dynamics because they change so much depending upon the nature of the characters in the pack, which makes sense. Families change, you know, depending upon the nature of the characters in the family. So I set out from that perspective to get involved with these three characters and how they each reacted to the pack. And then I wanted to put them into this dynamic of being separated. How would they each individually react to that? That's how this book sort of came together. It really started with me saying, I want to think about dog packs. I want to think about how dog packs function and how individual dogs within the packs are thinking.
Nice. I love that concept. And it's one of the reasons, you know, I want to pick your brain. I always pick your brain about writing and being an author and how you go about doing it, whether it's learning about storyboards or doing your research and these type of things. But it always fascinates me about the concept. And, you know, that there's something that when I talk to you, it's something that clicks that, wow, that's kind of fascinating. And then you dive into there and really take hold of what you're trying to accomplish, and then put that back into the book and put that back into the characters.
Yeah, when I'm doing research for a book, one of the things that I keep in mind is that the relationship a dog has with the world is not visual, it's olfactory, it's through its nose. So dogs have this incredible instrument, and that's what steers them through their day-to-day life. So when I write about a place, I'll go to, you know, I'm writing a book that takes place in the state of Washington. So I've been out there, been visiting the sheep ranches and the goat ranches, because that's what this next book is about. And while I'm in the process of doing that, I'm smelling, I'm seeing, I'm feeling because that's how the dogs are going to relate to it. The dogs are not really interested in politics. They don't really care about taxes. There's a lot of things that we would say characterize a particular part of the country that they have no relationship to a dog. And, you know, when Ripley Fire Station 5 came out, it takes place in the suburbs of Minnesota. And there's lots of material there for the reader in terms of how Minnesotans talk, how they act, and you know, their aw shucks mentality. And they're, you know, they eat beer cheese soup and all that. Dogs don't know any of that. So the people may talk about that, and that helps enrich the experience for the human reader. But what was really interesting to me is how would a dog react to living in the suburbs of Minneapolis? The people are talking in Minnesotan, but the dog doesn't know anything about that. What the dog does know is that there are so many trees. When I went to Minneapolis to do research, I was struck by how many trees they've got, but it makes sense. They get a lot of rain, and so they've got a lot of woodland, and dogs would react to that. They'd be very aware of that. That's the kind of detail that goes into my books that has to do with how dogs relate to their environment.
Love that. I love that. And that's very important to know because, you know, outsider looking in, we don't often think of the research that goes behind it. In any good book, especially the ones that you put together, you got to do the research. You got to be thinking, okay, I'm writing about dogs, so I got to get in sort of the dog's mind. I got to live a dog's life, which is a pretty dang good life. And then you have that aspect, and it's like, well, if I'm going to base this in a particular part of the country or circumstance, I've got to go really see what that's all about. And I think it really comes through because, you know, otherwise really connecting not only with the dogs but the environment that they're in wouldn't be there unless you actually did the the research and actually, you know, thought about it and went there yourselves to figure it out.
I think it's an important part of my process. Other writers might be able to just read a book and say, oh, this is what it's like to live in the Midwest. But for me, I have to go there. I have to experience it so that I can be authentic, especially to how a dog would relate to the environment. And then dog breeds are very important. And we haven't really touched on this, but, you know, Riggs being an Australian Shepherd, if you think about an Australian Shepherd wanting to herd animals together, a pack, an unruly pack, is essentially a group of animals that needs to be herded. That just appeals. We get the sense right away that Riggs is about order, is about, you know, what would the human want us to be doing? That's what we should be doing. We shouldn't be doing anything else. Luna is so full of her berserk Jack Russell Terrier energy that, you know, she attacks toys and rips them up, and Riggs watches it for as long as he can tolerate it, and then he says, okay, you have to, that's enough, and goes over to correct Luna's behavior. And of course, when Archie comes charging into their lives, Riggs is beside himself because here's this happy-go-lucky, energetic, clumsy labradoodle, and Riggs isn't too sure how he feels about this new arrival, but they form a pack, and as their pack forms, it becomes apparent to Riggs that this is what the human wants. This is their person's name is Liam. This is what Liam wants. So even when Liam vanishes, Riggs still feels what Liam wants is for us to be together. And that's what Riggs is going to set out to accomplish.
Nice. Nice. And it comes through very, very clearly in a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful book. As usual, the novel is My Three Dogs, Love Will Find a Way Home. Bruce, where can people catch up with you, find out what's going on, know of any juicy tidbits, any great things in the works that you can let just a humble radio podcast guy know about, any of that good stuff?
Well, I'm still on book tour. I'm in northern Michigan today. Tomorrow I'll be in Kansas City. I'm spending a couple days in Kansas City. I'm going to watch the Chiefs game with my nephew. But then I'm off, and I will have posted on Facebook my travel schedule. I'm going to be appearing in towns. I would love to meet your listeners face-to-face, sign their books for them. I love doing that, and I love speaking to schools. I have another book coming out in spring. It's called Piper's Story, and wait for it. I wrote it about a cat, so it's almost a cat's purpose. That will really, I can't tell if that's going to accept people or people will be excited. I can't tell.
You should have sent a survey. That could go either way. It's very politically correct of you, though, to finally come around and represent the cats. So I'll give you a kudos on that. You're a brave, brave soul. So I will see it going well, and I'll look forward to chatting with you when that one comes out for sure. I'd heard the rumor, so now it's confirmed. So that's exciting.
It's confirmed.
Well, everybody, we'll post it online, but everybody pick up a copy of the book. It's My Three Dogs by W. Bruce Cameron. Love will find a way home. Love that. I love that for sure. And definitely, if you get a chance to get to any of the places that Bruce is at, please do. It's always fun. It's always great to see Bruce. He knows what he's talking about, and he makes it just an entertaining event. Plus, you get a signed copy of the book. So, hey, what are you going to do about that? It's perfect.
Yeah, perfect. It really is.
All right. Well, we're coming to the end of the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank the producers and sponsors for making this show possible. If you have any questions, comments, ideas for the show, go to PetLifeRadio.com, drop us a line, and we will entertain your comments, answer your questions, and bring on the people you want to hear from most. And while you're there, check out all the other wonderful shows we have on Pet Life Radio. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life, and who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.